Episode 191, BulaNetwork.com. Hey kids, welcome to another episode of BulaNetwork.com. Episode 191. I'm going to talk to you about the influence of feedback on your direction. Here at BulaNetwork.com, we are all about getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. I'm glad that you're with us. We're coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Fall has fell. There's some grammar for you. Hey, I don't claim to be grammar guy. Yeah, that's why we have grammar girl or grammar gal. It's grammar girl, isn't it? Yeah, it's grammar girl. I've listened to it before. Okay, so here's the deal. A blog post is written. Let's assume this blog post is written by your favorite A-list blogger. You know the kind. They're the ones that they have tens of thousands of daily readers. Maybe you get them in your RSS reader at Feedly. Maybe you subscribe to their email newsletter, but you follow their stuff fervently, religiously. Let's assume it's a 1,500 word blog post. And very often, the comment ice will be broken by a reader who is probably much like you. They just love everything this person does. And the comment may be nothing more than fan adoration. Well, fandom is a form of positive feedback. How helpful is it? I don't know. I mean, can the blogger gain any benefit from a comment that goes, "This is great. This is wonderful. I just love your stuff." I mean, does it serve as a barometer of the quality of that particular post? Will the blogger adjust her content based on that comment and others like it? Maybe, maybe not. And because there is no definitive answer, it may not be productive feedback. Because circumstances and situations and context will determine. Dan Norman is the cognitive science expert. He's the guy that wrote The Design of Everyday Things, and he's right. I think he's right. Because he says we need specifics, details, and feedback that will help us concentrate on what's necessary so we can fix things. Well, too many times all we get is praise or criticism, which is a form of, I put an illustration over in the show notes, which you can find, by the way, at Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com/191. That makes sense because this is episode 191. I have a JPEG. I have a picture there of a, it's a form, and there are these check boxes: excellent, very good, good, average, and poor. And of course, there is a check at excellent. But, so many times the feedback, it's kind of like those check boxes. If someone were to check the box poor, what does that tell you? Well, excellent doesn't tell us very much, and poor tells us even less. A rock band produces a record, and maybe that record veers considerably from their previous style. Maybe they want to venture out beyond their past. Bands do that. They want to push things, and they want to embrace the adventure in their music. Their fans may embrace it. More likely than not, fans are going to hate it. It'll be something different than what the fans expected, and fans will vote with their dollars. Sales will give the band some pretty fast feedback, but artistic creativity, you know, can help a band avoid burnout, boredom, getting sick of one another. And even if the fans aren't happy, it can serve for artistic growth. I'm serious. Kinda. Sometimes fans embrace, you know, the monumental change in direction. For example, Pearl Jam's leader, their lead singer, Eddie Vedder, he released a solo project. Well, it was before this last Pearl Jam project, Lightning Bolt. Lightning Bolt is the latest Pearl Jam release. Before that, Eddie, yeah, we're on first name basis. Eddie released a record called Ukulele Songs. He got a lot of feedback about that solo project. Dave 911 at iTunes posted, "I thought it was going to grow on me. Epic fail." Meanwhile, Greg C wrote, "Makes me feel like I'm on a cloud." I'm assuming Greg wants to be on a cloud. I'm assuming Greg thinks being on a cloud would be cool. Be a good thing. Okay, what's Eddie supposed to do? What is Eddie Vedder supposed to do with such disparate feedback? Yeah, he's Eddie Vedder, so probably not much of anything. I mean, Eddie created this record because he wanted to. For decades, this guy has had tremendous success with Pearl Jam and solo projects. He's not likely got anything to prove to anybody anymore, other than maybe himself. Success for him financially and musically, it affords him the opportunity to take these big risks. I don't know. We are on first name basis, but I don't know Eddie well enough to know if he really cares. I suspect he probably doesn't. Now, as for Pearl Jam's latest, those reviews, well, they're all over the board too. In fact, as I hit the record button today, there are about 2,700 iTunes reviews of Lightning Bolt, and the overall rating is 4 out of 5 stars. Dave G73, he writes, "Kids, this is rock. Any questions?" Luke 79 wrote, "Do not listen to Mind Your Manners," that's a song on the record, "on your mobile device. It will explode." Yield 101 wrote, "This is just hard to listen to." High Top 8 wrote, "Unfortunately, just another example of PJ, Pearl Jam, trying to make a song that sounds like another band." Yeah, the Stinger was written by M.D. Markle. "The destruction is complete. You guys finally sound like you're 50 years old." Oh, M.D. Markle. I'm past 50 years old. Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly is not Eddie Vedder. Well, he's not Pearl Jam either. Josh Kelly is a fellow who has released a number of pop albums, but in March of 2011, he released a country record, Georgia Clay. "I'm a fan of both Vedder and Kelly." Okay, I'm not on first name basis with Josh. Well, okay, I am now. "I own all of Josh Kelly's earlier records, every single one, but I did not buy Georgia Clay. And my refusal to buy that record, while a form of feedback, it's anonymous." Well, it's secretive until now. "I enjoy some country music, but I'm not enough of a country music fan to suffer through what I suspect would be my disappointment with what I expect from Josh Kelly. I love his music and I listen to it regularly here inside the Yellow Studio. But for me, pop music is the context for Josh Kelly, at least in my life, not country music. Most of the iTunes feedback for Georgia Clay is quite positive. Based on the comments, it would seem that many of the negative comments are from fans like me, those people who appreciated Kelly in the context of pop music, those people who knew him in pop music. It's very apparent to me that a number of people discovered him in the country music genre, but they don't know him in the pop music context, so they have more positive comments to make. And so as a result, it's very possible, in fact, it's highly probable, that Josh Kelly has found a new audience among country music fans. The feedback of sales is going to likely determine his musical future. And if sales of Georgia Clay eclipse his last pop records, then, well, hey, he can join the ranks of Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish, and the ranks of country music. By the way, I think Darius Rucker is he's an award-winning country music artist. And there are a lot of people that don't even, Hootie who? It's Darius Rucker, man. When you're not yet a household name, the feedback of these sales is more likely going to determine the course that you take. I mean, when you're Eddie Vedder, you're going to do what you want. We will see what Josh decides. So far, I mean, come on, it was 2 years ago. It was 2.5 years ago that he went country. He hasn't come back. I'm guessing my days of Josh Kelly in the pop world, I'm guessing those days are over. I'm not expecting I'm going to see any new releases from Josh Kelly in the pop music realm anytime soon. I mean, in fact, if you go, I went before I hit the record button, I went over to his website. None of his earlier works are even on the website. None of his pop records are on the website, which I guess makes sense. If you're going to go country, then why confuse people? And as much as I may be hoping for a return to pop music, my feedback is certainly not going to be sufficient enough for him to change course. What about you? What feedback determines your direction? I mean, whether it's a blog post or a podcast or a business or a career or life in general, we are constantly taking in feedback to determine what adjustments we might need to make. Sometimes we solicit feedback from people we trust, friends and family. And of course, there are those inherent risks with that. Because like the blogger's biggest fans, they can and often do tell us what we want to hear because, well, they like us or they love us. And so they will extol upon us their praise and their adoration and all the expressions of confidence that they have in us. Maybe worse yet, they do the opposite. And maybe they just shred us to pieces by being our harshest, even unfair critics. All because they lack the one thing that we really desperately need, and that is objectivity. They remain one component of feedback, but rarely do we base our decisions solely on what they tell us. I mean, when's the last time that you saw any teenager that made any decision based on what dad said or what mom said? Who are y'all? Well, we're only the people that gave you life. We're only the people that support you. We're only the people that put a roof over your head and food in your stomach and clothes on your, so who are we? We got no vote in this. But no, we need more feedback. Especially if we don't like the feedback we're getting. You know, like Johnny Teenager, I don't like that answer. I'm going to pick another answer. Where do we look? Where do you look? Who do we listen to? What barometers do we use? Feedback demands a variety of components. And as famed scientist Don Norman would tell us, we do need a few things to really help us. We need context. We need to understand ambitions. We need to understand goals and objectives, schedules even, resources. Well, there you go. What are the talents? What are the skills? What do we have at our disposal? The opportunities, those are different from person to person. Relationships. You know people I don't know. I know people you don't know. And there's a whole lot more to it. I refer to all of these things as circumstance. These are circumstance. And as each of us has a unique circumstance, and that circumstance can determine how feedback, whether it's positive or negative, affects us, our desired destination determines our course and the kind of feedback that can serve us best. Now, Eddie Vedder's feedback is likely going to have less of an impact on his direction because of his current circumstance. And that circumstance, well, let's look at the circumstance in two areas, musically and financially. Eddie's going to go in the direction he wants to go musically without, I'm guessing now, I think I'm right, without any regard to the feedback. I mean, it's the power of being fully independent. Eddie Vedder is flying in that rarefied air. Well, superheroes breathe that air. Superman flies in that air. The rest of us don't. And so Eddie can decide, I really like this instrument, the ukulele, and I'm going to make an entire record with it. And we are more likely, because of his superhero status, we are more likely to give him positive feedback and support his endeavor as he embarks on this. Could he have done that 20 years ago? Not likely. Financially, does he care if that record sells? Well, I'm sure he would like to see it sell. I'm sure his ego would like to be stroked, and I'm sure the dollars wouldn't hurt either. But my guess is Eddie wants to do what Eddie wants to do, and Eddie's going to do what Eddie wants because he can. Josh Kelly's feedback could have a greater impact on his direction. Now, I don't know why he's gone in the direction he's gone in. Does he love country music more than he loves pop music? Does he prefer writing and performing country songs? If so, he may not need any overwhelming positive feedback. And if he gets enough sales to fuel his desire, he's likely going to push forward in that current direction. And it would appear, based on the last 2.5 years, that's where he's headed. That's the direction. But if he's trying to morph those talents that he began with, that pop music, that singer-songwriter stuff, into the country genre because he or his people think that he's got improved opportunities there, well, okay, then the level of feedback, sales, required is it's likely going to need to be higher. I mean, it all depends on the factors that are unique to his circumstance. And the truth is, I don't know exactly what his circumstance is. And it depends on where he wants to go. I mean, I've got questions. As a fan of his, I've got questions. He produced, you know, a number of really good, in fact, terrific pop records. Why didn't he start out in country? And I haven't even talked about Sheryl Crow. Now, Sheryl Crow's kind of got this country-ish rock thing happening, and it's not near the shift, at least to my ears and taste. Sheryl Crow going more into country music and falling more in love with Nashville is not nearly the stretch that it was for Josh Kelly. Well, or for Darius Rucker, for that matter. Wealthy executives, wealthy business people sometimes walk away from very lucrative careers in pursuit of something that's just far simpler and financially just sparse. As high-paid executives, you know, they were getting positive feedback telling them, hey, you're on course, you're doing good, you're doing the right thing. And for some reason, over time, they grow weary with it. And like Eddie Vedder, they just, you know, they need to pick up a ukulele. They need something different. They need a change. And so a decision is made. contrary to all the positive feedback, contrary to all the historical evidence that shows them, you're on track, man. You're making big money. You got the corner office. You got all the perks of the job. Things are great. Things are going swimmingly. But usually those decisions are made probably for the same reason Eddie Vedder made the decision to play a ukulele on an entire record, because they're very personal. And there's probably something going on inside that guy or gal's head who decides, you know, this high-flying multi-million dollar Wall Street career, I don't want it anymore. Now, on the other hand, a young person can graduate. They can go on and get their MBA, and they can seek this opportunity to ascend to the executive suite. That suite, that same corner office, that same suite in Wall Street that one guy says, I'm out of here. Resumes are built. You know, the LinkedIn profiles are all updated and fancied up, and social media is, you know, all engaged. And without any solid job leads, that person, this newly minted MBA, may decide that they're going to seek the advice of a career consultant, somebody that can help them gain momentum. And I know some career consultants, and they're great and they're terrific. And after some resume tweaks and some additional strategies are employed, that person may find themselves getting some regular interviews. Hey, it's great. This is a good sign. This is a sign that he's headed in the right direction. Went to undergrad school, got the MBA, got the career consultant, getting interviews, positive feedback. It's all happening. It's a good thing. Now he's finding a little bit of success beyond the first interview. And he tries to find out, okay, how can I get better? Where am I failing? Where can I improve? More feedback maybe from a professional reveals that maybe you're a little too self-focused. Yeah, maybe you're coming on a little too strong. And so he makes some changes and he tweaks some things and he begins to get a second. He begins to even get a third interview. Finally, he lands a great job. Well, all of the feedback has been showing him the way. He's been paying attention. Come on, he's an MBA. He's not an idiot. The process, it involved frustration, time, and ongoing adjustments. But how is any of that different than the high-paid guy who walked away from the executive suite? I mean, both people had lives that centered around the executive suite. One guy wanted it. One guy wanted away from it. Feedback played a pivotal role for both, but the feedback was very different because, well, they had different desires. They had different circumstances. And so the question is, where do you want to go? Feedback. I tell you what feedback is like. Feedback is like those mile markers on the highway. It tells us if we're getting closer or further away from our desired destination. But the critical thing is, we got to know where the destination is. If we are just out driving down the highway, we don't really care where we're going. We see one mile marker, it means no more, no less to us than the next mile marker, right? They're all the same. It's a mile marker. Well, what does it tell us? Nothing. Why? Because we got no particular destination. We don't care where we go. It's important to know where we want to go. Feedback often muddies up that water, though. I mean, we dig deep inside and we come to terms with what we want or what we think we want. And then people start talking to us. And then people start asking us questions. And sometimes they influence us to alter our directions. I mean, sometimes people talk us into and out of things that we want. Sometimes it's for the best. Sometimes not so much. Now, in the end, internal and external feedback, it influences us all. That A-list blogger who sees comment after comment after comment affirming how great and terrific they are, their confidence is fueled by that. Make no mistake. I don't care who they are. They enjoy the stroke of knowing that people love them. The internet, if the internet has proven anything at all, It has proven that life is a grand popularity contest. I mean, Kim Kardashian, you know, she recently, Kanye proposes to her. I know it's all backwards, folks. It's just all backwards. They've got a child. I think I'll ask her to marry me. Hey, not only am I old fashioned, I'm moral. So he asked her to marry him. And everybody's all abuzz about, oh, there needs to be this prenup. And you know, okay. He's worth $100 million. She's worth 40. And she does what? She doesn't do anything. She's Kim Kardashian. $40 million. And you don't think popularity pays. You're an idiot. Yes, it does. It pays. It's paid her $40 million. Well, that's just what she supposedly is worth. I mean, who knows what she has spent? She probably spent another $40 million. So earnings, who knows? Could it be $80 million? Oh, absolutely. It could be $80 million that she's earned. I don't know. But all the publicity and all the positive adoration, it affirms that she's doing it right. Now, you may not agree with it. I may not agree with it. But somebody, hey, she didn't just dream of getting $40 million of net worth. She got it. She earned it. I'm going to give her that. She earned it. Yeah, you may not think, well, she didn't work very hard to earn it. Well, I don't know how hard she worked, and I don't care. But the fact is, she earned it because people are willing to pay it. So the feedback continually comes back to her. We like this. We like this. I mean, it's funny to me. I'll go to the gym and TMZ and some of those other kind of shows, they'll be on the monitors up there. And, you know, I won't even plug my earbuds in to listen, you know, cause I'm going to be listening to a music or a podcast or something on my own, but I'll see it up there on the screen. And it's just, I don't know. It's just comical to me, you know, to watch all of this hubbub and all the celebrity fanfare and all the watching of this stuff. And people wonder why we continue to see some of the stuff. You continue to see some of the stuff because it works. Because it works. She stays in the news. And she's going to keep staying in the news because that's how she's made her $40 million. So that positive feedback, that fuels her confidence. That fuels her belief that she can keep on doing this and she'll keep on doing it until it stops working. And it may. And we'll see how that goes. Well, what about you? What are the internal and external feedback influences on you? Well, it's business, you know, and feedback does count. In our businesses, feedback is best measured in the form of revenue generated or sales made. If nobody is buying, adjust. And maybe you have to adjust the offer. Maybe you have to adjust the price. Maybe you have to adjust both. Maybe you have to adjust your marketing message. Maybe you have to adjust your value proposition. Maybe you have to adjust all of those things and more. If you're not making sales or you're failing to make enough sales, I've got a simple question. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose by changing things up? Kim Kardashian is continuing to do what she's always done because it works. Why are you continuing to do what doesn't work? If you don't have sales or you don't have enough sales to keep on doing what it is you do or want to do, stop it. I mean, stop it. You're going to have to do something different. Try something different. Measure how well or how poorly it works. Business building can really be boiled down to two sentences. Do more of what works. Do less of what doesn't. Well, people chuckle when I tell them that. That's easier said than done now. Do more of what works, do less of what doesn't. I can tell you why it's difficult is because some people don't know what doesn't work, and many people don't know what isn't working. Do you follow the crowd? That is, do you follow the majority? Maybe. Maybe not. And you have to decide, by the way. I mean, you have to decide who the trusted advisors are. You have to decide who you're going to listen to. The rock band, the artist, the musical artist, has got to decide, kids, this is rock. Any questions? If that's more valuable, then this is just hard to listen to. And no, I'm not saying that you should get wrapped up in Yield 101, who may write something about you that says, this is just hard to listen to. I mean, if I got a review that said, this guy is just hard to listen to, does that, am I going to quit? No. The problem is that doesn't tell me anything. Why am I hard to listen to? You know, I mean, give me something I can use, but we don't live in a day and age where there's a whole lot of that goes on. We've got two groups of people by and large. We've got lovers and haters. We got people that will hang on every word that every A-list blogger writes and, oh, it's great. It's wonderful. It's terrific. Oh, this is just, oh, you've outdone yourself. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. Or somebody else that just said, this sucks. And in my estimation, they just cancel each other out. They just cancel each other out. So what I'm left with is basically the sound of silence. Nothing. Nothing. All that positive adoration, okay, it's great for your ego. And all that hating is, that's bad for your ego. Just cancel them out and throw them both away. Because neither of them is of any use because they don't tell you anything. They don't give you any kind of information that will help you, as Mr. Norman would say. They don't give you the information necessary so you can fix things. They just pander to our emotions, positively or negatively. All I know is when it comes to business and business feedback, we have to have revenues. We have to have revenues. And I know that without revenues, and without sufficient revenues, I might add, you're not going to last long. And so the measurement for your business has got to be revenues, sales, customers. It's not selling out to sell out. It may be confirmation that you're at long last giving people what they want most. My advice, keep giving them more of it. Only better. Keep getting better and keep giving them more of it. It's the only way that you're going to succeed in business. I don't know why. I don't know why people cannot have enough tenacity to stick with something on one hand, but yet they can be so strongly deluded that they want to push water up a hill. They so desperately want to do something that just, it's not going to work. All the signs are indicative. It ain't going to work. It ain't working. It's never worked, and it ain't going to work. But they want to push, and they want to push, and they want to push. When if you could just get them to understand, just do a 180, turn around. You're no longer going uphill. Now you're going downhill. Now make that work for you. Find a way to make that work for you. Yeah, there's a lot more to this, for sure. I just hope to provoke some thought because we have all these internal feedback mechanisms happening and we have these external feedback mechanisms happening. And they're both equally valuable, but they can both be equally deadly. And we've all got to find our own way. It's one reason why, among many perhaps, that everybody's looking for a formula, a secret. Tips and tricks and techniques. Tell me how you did it. I want to know how you did it. And people making copious notes. hoping that they can replicate it. Too stupid to realize you can't. Everybody's got to find their own way. Hard stuff. Real hard stuff, but it's the stuff of business success. And so you got to get busy paying attention to the noise in your head, paying attention to the noise outside your head, and figure it out. Figuring out what works, do more of that. Figuring out what doesn't work, do less of that. In fact, stop it altogether if you can. It is the influence of feedback on your direction. Visit the website, BULANetwork.com/191, and you'll see copious show notes for today's episode. You can also subscribe to the podcast by going to the icon for iTunes or Stitcher or the RSS button or Feedly. All kinds of ways to connect with me too over there. All kinds of social icons, Facebook, G+. I'm increasingly using Google Plus more. I don't know why. LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube channel. It's all over there at the website at BULA, BULANetwork.com. The art of business. The art of business is hard work. So all the best. Get after it. My name is Randy Cantrell. The city of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio.